Now, Helen, a moment ago when we turned off the mic, you began telling me the story of a real Stowe character, Henry Hastings. Can you backtrack a bit and tell us all the tale of Mr. Hastings?
Hastings, yeah. Who came to town with his wife and two children and lived in Moscow. And he had invented a bird call, a very small device that, when twisted the right way, made bird-like sounds. And he was quite a promoter. He went to New York, and he got on one of those early morning TV shows with this, promoting it, and sold it to the Audubon Society, which meant selling a lot of them, you know, that sort of thing. And eventually decided he wanted to have a craft store. So he went to Marie Rousseau and Nancy Graham, who owned Timberholm Lodge, who started the Baggy Knees nightclub in a barn where that complex is now. And they had orchestras, and there was dancing, and there was, you could buy a drink, and that sort of thing. Downstairs, underneath, was unoccupied. So Henry wanted to use the space, and they agreed that he could. And he, I don't know whether there was a, I think he probably rented from them, but I'm not sure. I think they were maybe just happy to have it open. So Henry put some burlap up so that when people were dancing upstairs, the hayseed and the rafters wouldn't fall on the gift shop below. And he went around to everybody and got stuff on consignment. And he went to a man up in Morrisville who had a record business, and he got a turntable and he was selling records. But see, this also made music as a background for the store. And he got craftspeople of all sorts to put things in there. And he heated it with a stove, one of these sort of pot-bellied, tallish stoves, and he called his business a smoky stove. And it was at the entrance to the dump. So on Sundays, when people came to the dump, he would be open, and they could sit and have coffee and chat with him and that sort of thing. And then every night, he had his gift shop downstairs. Well, it didn't take them very long. I think that first season, it became so successful, they wanted Henry out of there. And they wanted him out of there maybe a month and a half before the season would be over. And he said, no, you agreed to, there must have been a contractual arrangement, because he said, you've leased this to me for the winter. And he wouldn't leave. So they decided they would have him go. And what they would do was turn off the power, which meant they had no lights. And the turntable would grind to a halt, you know, just slow down because with a record on it and everything. Then they would call up the man with business in Morrisville and say he was destroying his records. And it got to be a, I'm going to do this, and you're going to retaliate. And they did terrible things to each other, but they locked him out finally. And he had all these consignment goods locked in there. So what Henry did, he had a business coupe, an old business coupe, Chevy type thing. He bought a miniature stove, smoky stove, wood stove, you know, that he could use. Now, wait a minute. There's a little something before that. Oh, he looked for another place to go. And at that point, the Stowe Area Association had bought a building, and it had some empty space in it where eventually the Stowe Travel Agency went. And they agreed that he could have that. So he got all set to set this up, and had a sign outside, and he was getting ready to go when the women, Nancy and Marie, got together with Parker Perry, who was president of the Stowe Area Association, and shut him out of the space. And I know this was going on because I used to walk past there going to the post office every day, and would see their car outside the Green Mountain Inn. And so they told him, he got the Stowe Area Association to vote not to let him have the space. And he was stuck again. So what he did was he took his coupe and he got this little stove and he tied it to the top of the car, and he opened up the trunk, and he would have a rope that had mugs on it, and he would sell crafts out of the trunk sitting on the street in front of the Green Mountain Inn, and he burned rubber tires in this little stove on top of the car, which blew into the Green Mountain Inn.
How long did this go on?
Well, a couple of months. And I don't know how they managed to get him out of there eventually. But because of this harassment on both sides, Henry got into a lot of trouble. And at one point, some people turned his car over. They started to call his wife at all hours of the day and night. And she finally left town because of the harassment. And he did, then other things started. He did things like going up to the mountain, and Sepp had a house up there in the summertime. And Henry was a marvelous tennis player, but they shut him out of the courts. They wouldn't let him play. And he went up one time and picked up a hose and accidentally sprayed Sepp. Oh, I didn't really mean to. I was just going to water your flowers for you. This sort of thing. And then you could ask Ted Barnett about, because it got to be a very difficult situation. And Henry lost his house, and he slept in the memorial building. He would come to our house, and I think the Kelloggs and the Beckerhoffs were his last friends in Stowe. He would come and spend hours and hours. And finally, my husband would say, "It's midnight, Henry, you got to leave. I've got to go to bed." Talking with us, and we'd give him dinner and things.
Why did people dislike him so much?
Because he wouldn't submit to authority. He is the one who got our electric rates reduced. I know they have, Henry published a paper, and I had saved all these copies, and I gave them to the Historical Society. He managed to get our electric rates reduced. And people didn't know that about him. When Lyndon Johnson came to town, the FBI came in first to find out what was going on, asked if there were any difficult people in town, and they mentioned Henry. He was under kind of like house arrest while the Mrs. Johnson, Lady Bird Johnson, came to Stowe while she was in town. So and he finally left town, but he got into a lot of trouble, and I doubt that Ted Barnett would tell you anything about it, but there were a lot of legal things that went on with Henry, and a lot of things that he brought on himself, a lot of things that people did to him brought on his reactions to these things. He finally left town, and there is a woman in town whose name I won't mention, with whom he lived for quite a while. And when I was writing a story about him, I called her, and she said she didn't want to talk about him. And now I think it's very difficult to find out when people died anymore because of this privacy thing going on. But I know he's dead now, and I don't know how old he was when he died. Handsome man, very bright, quite charming, but run into the ground by this town. And when I contacted the Stowe Reporter about doing this for their magazine, they said it was too dark a story and they wouldn't take it. And that was Henry Hastings.
Now, just one more personality that you've mentioned a number of times that I just want to ask you about is Parker Perry.
Oh, Parker! Everybody has stories about Parker. This is an example of the money situation. We were invited to dinner one time, and Dottie was his second wife. Oh, it's a wonderful story about his first wife, but that has nothing to do with stuff. Anyway, we all had dinner, and then afterwards we went to their, in the dining room of the Green Mountain, and then we went to their apartment because they were going to gamble, I guess, and they were playing $1 a cut. For cards, and we made our excuses and left because we couldn't afford it. And somebody made a remark about, I used to go down to Shaw's to buy bread, and I'd walk past the Green Mountain in a little time. And one time Parker made a comment about, well, some more other people, no, you live by bread alone or something like that. But we bowed out because we just couldn't afford to play. And he had a lot of poker games. In fact, my neighbor, Poke Slayton, the constable, was a great poker player. And he always regretted that he didn't take Parker up on going to play poker with him. But that was tricky times. The other person is Bob. Oh, I did mention Bob Borden to you. Yeah. But he was, that was a different thing. But Henry was a sad story. I mean, the town really drove him around the bend, I think.